Good to have our young people sitting up front here tonight, too, and thank you. Let me encourage you, when you come into the building, to sit a little bit closer to the front. And the reason I say that, quite often we have visitors, and we had a couple this morning that were visiting with us from Athens, and they assured me that they would be back. And he said, I do want to ask you a question, though, and I said, sure. He said, are those seats up front electrified or something? Is that what people, why they sit at the back? I said, no. And he said, well, I was just wondering. He said, why you had so many empty seats and everybody sitting toward the back? I said, well, I had preached a sermon about 2 weeks ago about people who love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. And but anyway, that really wasn't true. But he did say that. They did say that. So let me encourage you to do that. Surprise, I like to know who I'm preaching to. And if I don't see you, then I might miss you. And I want to make sure that you're up front where we can see exactly who we're preaching to. And if you'll do us that favor, I would appreciate it. You know, we really do have a lot of empty seats up front on Sunday morning and on Sunday night. And so if you would do that, it would really be encouraging to the body of Christ as a whole. And I know some people who say, well, you know, I've had this seat all these years. Well, one of these days you're going to vacate that seat anyway. Believe me, you are. And that brings me to my lesson tonight. You know, this morning we talked about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is a tremendous awe and inspiration in the Word of God regarding the crucifixion of Christ upon the cross. And I don't think you could ever say too much about the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, as John records in Revelation chapter 1. Nor do I think you could say too much about the resurrection. And even though there are people in our world tonight who would not be back, as well as our own folks who would not be back tonight. They think that Easter is such a wonderful and grand thing, but not on Sunday night. But you know, the resurrection of Jesus affords us a number of things. First of all and foremost, it is the foundation of our faith in God, isn't it? As I mentioned this morning, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would have lost all hope. He would have been just another Jew, but we know that such was not the case. We know a lot about his crucifixion. We know a lot about his resurrection. Many, many statements are made about the resurrection of Christ, events that occurred when he walked with those on the road to Emmaus. There were many appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, 40 of them actually to be exact. But what do we know about what we call the ascension of Christ? The ascension of Jesus is equally important to his crucifixion and to the resurrection as well. And in John 8 and verse 23, Jesus said, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are not of this world, I am not. You are of this world, I am not of this world." God, listen, intended for Jesus to come back to him where he was from the very dawn of creation. But had it not been for his death, that would not have happened. And had it not been for his burial, which was also prophesied, and it was spoken of by Jesus Christ himself, he couldn't have ascended. And had he not been raised from that grave, it would not have happened. But because of it, we have what we call recorded in the Bible, the ascension of Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about it from the book of Acts, as Luke records it in Acts 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight." Now think about that a moment. What an awe-inspiring moment that was. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has eaten. He has dined with the disciples. He is now telling them, "I'm going away, and I'm going back to the Father who is in heaven." And suddenly on the Mount of Olives one day, they had gathered there, and Jesus all of a sudden is taken up from them in a cloud. And two men in white apparel, we assume them to be angels or celestial servants of God, whatever they may have been, they said, "Why stand you here gazing into the heaven?" Now, in the book of Luke 24 and 51, the Bible records it this way, that while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried away into heaven. But Acts 1 and verse 11 says that those two men in white apparel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now, one of the great promises of Christ was that he was coming again. Coming from where? He came the first time as a human being, God incarnate, as we say, in the flesh. But he is coming the second time not to rule on this earth, like a lot of people believe. There are a lot of speculation about what's going to happen when Christ comes again. But even when he does come again, he is not coming to set up a kingdom, but he is coming rather for the church that he calls his bride, Ephesians chapter 5. And the Bible says that we will be caught up together with each other in the clouds, just like he went into heaven, and we will meet the Lord in the air. The ascension of Jesus is tremendously important to the whole concept of him dying on a cross. Think about this just a minute. Jesus entered into this world, or he came to this earth in a miraculous way. He did. He came as Isaiah had prophesied, but he left this earth in a miraculous way as well. The ascension. A lot of questions about the ascension. Questions like when? Questions like where? Where did it happen? When did it happen? What was it really all about? And why did it happen? Well, the when of it was when Jesus died on the cross 40 days after his resurrection. There were 10 appearances here recorded. Witnesses were watching. And it was in the midday, out in the daylight. It wasn't at night where speculation could have been made. And some say, "Oh, you just thought you saw him ascend into heaven." But it is factual information that Luke records for us. Well, where did it happen? It happened precisely where Jesus said it would happen. And it happened on Mount Olivet. For the Bible in Acts 1 and verse 12 says, "They returned then unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, from Jerusalem," which was about a Sabbath day's journey. Isn't it interesting that God speaks with such great clarity and specificity about the crucifixion of Jesus, about his death on the cross, about his burial, and about his resurrection, and even about his ascension? What was it really all about? Well, according to Acts 1 and verse 9, he was to go back up into heaven. Now, we don't know exactly where that heaven of heaven is. God hadn't revealed that unto us. We know that there are several different places that we call heaven. Why, we know the birds fly in what we call the heaven, but we can see that heaven, and we can see the birds fly. There is another heaven, however, that we call the solar system, and that is the heaven. That is the one that Psalms 19 speaks about when it says that the heavens, plural, declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. So we know there are more than one heaven. Now, but anyway, Paul talks about the fact that he was caught up into the third heaven, but he was not allowed by the Almighty Father in heaven to say one word about that heaven. Did you know the Bible says that the eye has not seen it, and the ear has not heard it, nor has it ever entered into the mind of man the glory that God shall reveal in us. But the real question tonight, and here's why I really want to focus the rest of the lesson, is on the why. Why? How important is it to the scheme of redemption? Why did he ascend back to heaven? Why could he not have remained here upon the earth? I mean, after all, couldn't he have set up a kingdom here? Think of all the good that he could do if he had stayed here in this world. There were many that believed on him because of his miracles. But you see, God wants us to accept Jesus not because we have seen, but he wants us to believe even when we don't see. You remember the story of Thomas and when Jesus made his first appearance to the disciples after his resurrection? And the Bible tells us Thomas was not there. And so after a week, they encounter Thomas and they share with Thomas the information that Jesus had shared unto them. And he says, I won't believe unless I see the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand into his side where it was pierced. And Jesus did appear the second Lord's day afterward. And he reached out to Thomas and he said, Thomas, put your finger in the nail print of my hand and then thrust hither your hand into my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen and believed. But greater blessings belong to those who do not see and yet believe. You would think if he were here upon this earth that surely more people might have believed in him. We don't know. We know one thing, that the devils believed in him. For the book of James says that the devils believed and they trembled at the mighty name of the Son of God. For in John 1 and verse 11, the Bible says that he came to his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men, Isaiah 53 and verse 3. But why did he ascend back to heaven? Well, first of all, for man's redemption. Did you know that the scheme of redemption would not be complete had Jesus not ascended back to the Father who is in heaven? I'm here to tell you tonight that that ascension is equally as important as every other event that took place in the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He died on a cross for the remission of our sins. And he had to ascend back to complete the payment. Sometimes people say, well, the payment was made at the cross. You know, that's what the religious prognosticators tell us, that the payment was made at the cross and Jesus paid it all. But listen to what Hebrews 9 and verse 12 says. But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He came to appear in the very presence of God for you and for me, according to Hebrews 9 and verse 24. But why did he ascend back to the Father in heaven? Secondly, he did that to become our advocate. Do you realize that you wouldn't have an advocate in heaven right now had Jesus not ascended back to the Father? I know that to be true. An advocate is one who is trying to help Christians stay saved. For the Bible says he is our advocate in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen to it in 1 John 2 and verse 1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the word advocate actually means someone who is interceding in your behalf. Someone who is comforting you. Someone who is standing by you. And Jesus said, he that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6. So when we have a problem, we go to our advocate, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what an advocate does, really? Now, if we could put it maybe in layman's terms, what an advocate does. How many of you have ever had to have the assistance of an attorney? We all have, maybe at times. I think the last time I beat Audrey, I had to have one. No, I'm teasing. But we all have advocates. We do. There are times when you have to have an advocate. And that's your lawyer. He stands by you. He represents you. And that is precisely what Jesus is doing in heaven right now. And the Bible says he is at the right hand of God. But why do you ascend back into heaven? So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, could come. Now let me tell you, you know, you may say, well, the Holy Spirit could have come if Jesus didn't come anyway. I mean, if he stayed here. But Jesus said it would be to your advantage, it would be better for you for me to go away. Now listen to John 16 and verse 7 if you think that. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Christ is saying that the Holy Spirit was not going to come until he went away, until he ascended back into heaven. And he even says that he is the one who is going to send the Holy Spirit from the Father himself. Notice, the him is the Holy Spirit. For in John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of all things that are to come. But why did he ascend into heaven? Well, fourthly, to prepare a place for us. You know, one of my favorite passages is that of John 14, verse 1 through 6, because it tells us why Jesus went away. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go away to prepare a place for you. I'm thankful that Christ is in heaven right now preparing a place for all of us, aren't you? John 14, in my Father's house are, notice this, many mansions. And he said, if it weren't true, I would have told you. But if I go and prepare a place for you, he says he's going to do that, then I will come again. Come from where? From God. Not back to the earth. Did you know the Bible never teaches us that Christ would ever set foot on this earth again after his ascension into heaven? We got a lot of people that believe tonight that he's coming back and he's going to set up a one world order ruling government out of Jerusalem. Not true. You know why I know that's not true? It's because the Bible said it isn't. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says that when he comes again, he is coming. 2 Thessalonians says he's coming again to take vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. He's not going to set foot on this earth again, not according to what Christ said. Jesus existed before coming to this earth. As I said, he was born of a virgin. He lived on earth for 33 years, and then he ascended back to heaven. I like what Paul would write to the Ephesian brethren, lest there was any problem dealing with this issue. He gives great clarity to it when he says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above, notice this, all heavens. You know what? Scientists have come to realize that there is a big black hole. We don't know how many actual heavens there are. But he ascended far above all the heavens that he might fulfill all things. So in reality, the ascension makes the plan of salvation and the gospel complete. That's why we cannot neglect to know about the ascension. Most people, when you hear them speak, they say, the baptism is the likeness of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You know what? When we come out of that water, we ascend to a new life. We do. It's part of the whole process, isn't it? It is. Jesus Christ is Lord. And according to Revelation, not close tonight with this passage of Scripture, but according to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12, you and I someday will ascend to meet Him in the air. For John writes and says, "And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up thither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Someday, as I said, God's going to take vengeance on those that don't obey Him. You know, the Pope was quoted this week as saying he didn't think there was a hell and that there was a place of torment, but you were only in there for a short period of time and then you would vacate, not according to the will of God. Of course, Pope's been wrong about a lot of things. I don't place my hope in the Pope. I place my hope in the great potentate of all time, and that is Jesus Christ. And I look forward someday to being raised from the dead, unless I have the opportunity to witness the coming of Jesus Christ and to be translated that I would not see death and to be able to be ushered into the presence of the God that I've been preaching about for 50 years. John says, "And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." The ascension of Jesus, it's not something we should take lightly, nor should we forget. And I'm going to tell you that God's plan for man and even the plan for Jesus would not be complete had it not been for His ascension. It's time for us to respond to our Savior. It's time for all of us, whether we're Christians or non-Christians, to respond to His call to greater faithfulness, to honor Him in this life. And I hope tonight that if you're a child of God and you're not ready for your soul's ascension into heaven, that you'd make ready tonight. And if you're not a Christian, the simplicity of God's plan for your redemption is borne out in the Scripture over and over and over again. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's still the message of Christ, and it's the message I leave with you tonight while we stand and while we sing.